The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Well, today I'm going to continue on in the series that we started a couple of weeks ago about the what I've called Back to the Future or Genesis and Beyond. And as a text for our series, we're using, if I got this thing working right here, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then in John 1:1-3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that was made. From the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, from Holy Bible to genuine leather, everything speaks of Jesus Christ. And it's there in the Old Testament. That's why I chose the title of Genesis and Beyond, because you can't understand the Old Testament without understanding the New Testament. Remember, I told you that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So that's what we're doing in these weeks, is discovering the truth that has been hidden away. And we're not going to do an in-depth verse-by-verse study of the book of Genesis, but enough of it to get a good understanding. And today I want to speak about how do you find grace or finding grace in a sinful world. You know, grace is there. Even in the most obscure, heinous places on the earth, you'll find the grace of God show up. And I'm going to show you that this morning. In the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. Isn't that interesting? So not only is it was evil all the time. The Lord regretted that He had made human beings on the earth, and His heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. You know, if we just stop there, it's not a happy picture, all right? It's not a happy picture. But the next phrase right here, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. It's important for us to understand this. You know, it didn't take long, as we started just a couple of weeks ago, it didn't take long to go from unbelief and disobedience to Cain and Abel and murder. And we're just in chapter 6, folks. We hadn't, you know, gotten very far in the scriptures at all. And look what had happened. It was Abel over the edge. The whole world had actually gone over the edge. Every human thought was evil. The human heart was evil all the time. It had deteriorated to that level. To Adam and Eve in the garden, enjoying the presence of God, they did not believe God, but chose to believe the enemy. They ate of the forbidden fruit, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and things spiraled down. I've said this before through the years, and it's one of my pictures that I have in my mind, is we don't know how far we've fallen. But it's been a pretty bad fall. And it seems to me like the spiral is still continuing. Just when you think things couldn't get any worse, they get worse. Just when you think you've heard the worst thing that could ever take place on the planet, you hear something worse. There's always something. I many times in my life, particularly in the ministry, I thought, I am beyond being shocked. You can't say anything to shock me anymore. And then it happens again. You know, another thing that just, I say, man, this place is a mess. I mean, so how far that cliff is, we have no idea. But it's been horrible. Sin left unchecked is like a cancer that destroys everything. It's exactly what it is. And no, this is not 2014. This is back in the day. It's that bad then. I mean, it doesn't take much to figure this out. If it was that then there, bad then, how much worse have things gotten today? Had it not been for that phrase, but Noah found favor, but Noah found favor, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, we wouldn't be here. And I'm going to show you that in just a minute. Our search today is to look and see, how do you find grace in a sinful world? The first thing you do, you come to the realization that God is looking for somebody to rescue. Let's look at Genesis 7:1. Then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. I have found you righteous in this generation. We focus on sin and what it did to man. I just did that for you. And I said it's one of the things that I go through in my mind. You know, of how we make up the rules now as we go along. It doesn't matter what God's word says. We just want to do it our way. And we modify and change and come up with a new theology basically every day. It's kind of like it was in the book of Judges when it says that people just did what was right in their own mind. And that is magnified in today's society. You know, it's gotten to the point where wherever you look, it just comes at you like fiery darts that vex your soul. And that's what the scriptures say, that there are these fiery darts of the enemy that are hurled at us. But I want us to look for just a moment at what this did to God. It says that the Lord regretted that he had made human beings. You got any regrets in life? I do. Things you wish you'd have done different? Things that you wish you wouldn't have done? Places you wish you wouldn't have gone to? You know, because of consequences that we suffer in it? So, and that same concept is used by God. He said, I regret, but it didn't regret that he went into a ballroom or was messing around or lying or stealing and cheating. He said, I regret that I've even made mankind. Now, let me ask you a question, friends. How bad can things get when God regrets that he made you? I mean, that's pretty bad. And we don't think of God in those terms. One of the problems that we have as human beings and church believers is we get confused about the omnis of God. The omnis are, you know, God's omnipresent, he's omniscient, he's all of what I call the omnis. And we try to overlay that into the scriptures many times, and it confuses us because we won't really see the whole truth. Because God is revealing something about himself. He regretted it. It was a real regret. It wasn't make-believe. It wasn't some, well, God knows it all, God can do it all, you know, God has got everything, so what's he worried about? No, the heart of God was touched. It says not only did he regret, but it says that he was deeply troubled in his heart. Deeply troubled in his heart. You think the behavior of man doesn't affect God? Contrary, it does. And we see it right here. And it vexed him so much that he said, I'm going to do something about it. It had never rained on the earth before the time of Noah. Had no idea what it was. Nobody had an umbrella. You know, nobody had a raincoat. You know, nobody had to worry about wearing galoshes. You know, none of that was going on because it had never rained before. So there was what I think scientists call today the ozone belt was around the earth. It's still there, a remnant of it. But when God decided to destroy everything, the waters, the heavens opened up and the rain came down. And the earth opened up and the waters came up. And you all know the story that every living being died that day. God said, I'm going to wipe everything off the face of the earth. The people, the animals. I can see Mr. Bear and Mrs. Lion saying, hey, what did I do? You know, I've been doing what you created me to do. Why am I suffering in this? Because all of creation suffers. You read in the book of Romans, it says that all creation groans, waiting for the day of the total completion of the redemption that God has planned for this earth. That could have been the end of the story, and you wouldn't be here. Had God did what he said he was going to do, I'm going to wipe everything off the earth, there'd be no more us. I said, well, what would it be like? Well, we have no idea. I don't know. I know human beings, the ones that God created, and their descendants would have disappeared. But that is not what happened, because it says that Noah found favor or grace in the eyes of the Lord. That word favor is the word, it's a Hebrew word, but if you translate it into a Greek word, it's the word that we use, grace. And it says that Noah found grace, and it's the first mention of it, the first time you see it, that somebody found favor in God's eyes. Now let me tell you something, friends. It doesn't matter how bad the whole world gets, that God is looking for somebody to rescue out of the mess. That's what he wants to do. And I can just see the heart of God looking and looking. You remember the story where if we could find just a few folks, would you just spare the world? Would you not bring judgment? You know, could you just find one? Something about God. God is always looking for somebody who hasn't bowed down to evil. He's always searching. He's always looking for it. He's always looking for someone who's like the deer that pants after the water brook. You may think that you don't matter, but I'm here to tell you, you matter. You and your actions and your life matters to God, and God is looking for people who have not bowed their knee to Baal, who have not given in to the way of the world. You know, we as a city, the New Orleans area, we're subject to the Mardi Gras and all the debauchery that takes place down there. Thank God for these Christian soldiers who've come down here. They come down here every year. I've met them about 10 years ago. Every year, just about, unless something catastrophic happens in Pennsylvania, they're coming down here and going down into our city, at which we're affected by, to bring the good news. There's some knowers that are going out. There's some folks that have a heart towards God. And they're down here to labor and work. It'd be a lot easier to stay in Pennsylvania. They wouldn't come down here and put up what they're going to see and do. You know, how many of you are coming down for the first time for the Mardi Gras? Oh, boy. We're going to pray for you in a little while, all right? The other ones are already seen it. Yeah, by the way, for those of you who don't know, the church they belong to, of all things, is New Beginnings Church. That's the name of their church. Isn't that crazy? And they came down here. They had a trailer was broke or something was broke. Found a friend of mine by the name of Courtney Smith. And in the course of the conversation, Courtney told him about us. And we got to meet him. And they've been down here annually on this trek. But they're going into a place where there's a manifestation of great evil. But in the midst of it, there are these glimmers of light. God is always looking for someone to save. I want you to listen to two scriptures. Psalms 86, verse 15. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God. Listen to this. Slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. God is slow to anger and slow to judge. Sometimes you get a picture, and sometimes you might have this in your own mind, that God is looking to bring judgment. I mean, that he gets some kind of macabre pleasure out of it, that he created people so he could just go out and just squash them. But that's not the story. Now, I don't know how many years it was from Adam and Eve to where the flood came, but it was long enough for sin to take root deeply in the heart of man. And God was working on those folks. God was manifesting himself. God was visible to anybody who wanted to see him. You know why I know that? Because Noah found him. If one person can find God, anyone can find God. If there's one person can find favor in God's sight, anybody can find favor in God's sight. See, it's not that people can't find God, it's they won't respond to God. It's not that we go looking for him. He's been looking for us. And when he looks for us, he puts things in our lives that would bring us into that close fellowship with him, but we just won't do it. And things get worse. You know, if you take something out of your refrigerator and it needs to be refrigerated, and you put it on the counter and you leave it there for 5 minutes or so, you can put it back in the fridge, it'll be all right. You probably leave it there for 20 or 30 minutes and it'll be all right. But you don't leave it out for a couple hours, it's going to go bad. And that's what happens to the heart of men and women, is they kind of get out of the refrigerator, if you will. And it doesn't take long before things get really, really bad. You know, there's a picture in the New Testament that says Jesus told us about the Pharisees. He said, you know, on the outside, you're whitewashed tombs. And down here in the South, we know what a whitewashed tomb is, right? I don't know what you guys do in Pennsylvania. I think y'all bury them under the ice. You know? But out here, we bury you above ground, because if you push you below ground, you float away. I mean, the water table is just too bad around here. So, but he says on the outside, you look like a whitewashed tomb. I mean, those tombs look pretty nice. I mean, they paint them, you know, keep them in good shape. But he said, inside, you're full of dead men's bones. And that's what happens when you see people in the world who don't know God. They may look okay on the outside, but there's something really innately wrong on the inside. And that's what God saw. But God was looking to make a change. And what he wanted to do is to bring life where there was death. He wanted to bring these bones back to life that were dead. That's what God's plan has always been, to find somebody to redeem. It's always been to find someone to rescue. It's always been to find some Noah who has found favor with God. And God moves quickly to save. He's slow to anger, slow to bring judgment. He's abounding in loving kindness. But he's quick, just like that, to bring life. Remember the guy let down through the roof when Jesus was preaching that day? Didn't take him long. He said, your sins are forgiven, just like that. Just like that. That quickly. The woman caught in adultery. Just like that. He said, where are your confusers, and those who were condemning you, the condemners. He said, where are they? And he said, she said, there's nobody here left. They're all walked away. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. See how quick it was? Remember the prodigal son? He comes home. It's a great picture of Christ and God waiting for the sinners to come home. And when he got there, he didn't say, tell me what you've been doing. Tell me how rotten you've been. You know, where you spent all that money. You know, you don't deserve to come home. None of that's happened. When that young man, was walking towards his dad saw him and his dad ran to where he was. And he embraced him. And the boy tried to tell the story. He wouldn't even listen to it. If in the original language it says that he kissed him and he continually kissed him and hugging him and embracing him. He said, get a robe for him. Get something for his feet. Put the ring on his finger because that which is lost has been found. My son is back home. That's the heart of a loving God. That's the heart of a loving God. That's who God is. That's what he does. Probably the quintessential picture of all this that I'm trying to say is the day that Jesus died. You see the long suffering of God, the heart of God, open for the whole world to see. He's hanging on the cross, and there's two thieves, one on either side. One rails at him and said, if you who you say you are, you get yourself out of here and get us out too, will you, bud? And the other guy, he doesn't kneel down because he can't. You know? He's not crying and lamenting over a wasted life. He's not doing everything that we think people need to do in order to come to God. All he says is, he rebukes the other guy and says, shut up. I don't know what you're talking about. He kind of stood up for Jesus. That's pretty good. And then he said, would you remember me? Would you just remember me? Man, just remember me? And what does Jesus say? Well, you know, you need to repent a little bit more, you know. I need to see some real tears of, you know, so I know your heart's right. You know, that's what I do. You just be thankful I'm not God. If I was God, none of y'all would get into heaven, and I wouldn't get in either. I wouldn't even let myself in if I was God. Huh? And he says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Just like that. See how quick it is? See how quick it is? God is quick to shower grace, love, forgiveness on a person. Just like that, he'll do it. But when it comes to things, see, people think that God doesn't care because they do stuff and they get away with it for a long time. They say, well, there can't be any God. Look what I've been doing. You know, there's no judgment. Look how well I'm doing. That's the long suffering of God. The long suffering of God. But God's looking for Noah's. Now, let me tell you something so you understand this. Noah didn't gain righteousness of his own. Noah wasn't good enough to be able to receive God's grace. He just had a heart and a mindset that turned to God. And God saw him. He said, you're righteous. He had a righteousness in that he did some things that were right, but that didn't make him right. What made him right was the words of God and the heart of God found in Christ Jesus when Jesus died. Nobody in the Old Testament got saved. There wasn't a bull or a lamb or a sacrifice or anything could save anyone. What they did is they received kind of a heart towards God, but no one got saved until Jesus died at Calvary's tree, because that's where all sins were forgiven, for all men, for all time. Only one sacrifice for all sin. That's where it took place. Now, Jesus is quick to do that. Now, what else do we need to know? How do you find grace in a sinful world? You need to believe that God cares. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. He walked faithfully with God. He was just doing the best. You know, he didn't know what the New Testament said. In fact, he didn't know what the Old Testament said. He didn't know about Moses. He didn't know about Abraham. He didn't know nothing except God. Let me tell you what, friend. If that's all you know is about God, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. Have you ever had people ask you this question? Well, I don't know about needing to go to church and about Jesus. What about those people in Africa? I don't know. I know if God could find Noah, he could probably find some people in Africa, right? He could find a way. Well, what if they never hear the gospel? Well, we need to get the gospel to them. Yeah, I'm not worried about that. That's God's. God will take care of that. He said, no man will stand before him without an excuse. said, because God has been revealed. I just have to look around. And there's stories, by the way. You've probably heard some of the stories. Where, in fact, there was a, I'm going to tell you a story. I don't know if I can remember all the details. I didn't plan on telling it. But there was a village someplace in, I'll just say Africa. It may not have been there. But I believe it was the chief of the village had a vision or that a man would come with a black book. A white man with a black book and would tell him what he needed to know. Something that he needed to know. My wife knows the story. Do you know the story? Okay, I'll let her tell the story. Because she obviously remembers it better than I do. Because, let me turn this microphone on for her. I'm going to get this. Push the little button, and it goes on. George, you got yours? Is it on? I can't turn this one on, George. I don't know why.
Yes, yes.
Okay, that was good. All right, Pat, you tell the story.
This is called team preaching.
Yeah.
The story is, I remember it was, there was a man in a village, and he had a dream, and in this dream, a man appeared to him, and he knew that this, the man was God. And he asked, "Who are you?" And the man in the vision said, "There's a white man." This man had never seen anyone, a white man. He says, "There's a white man that will come to your village, and he'll be carrying a black book, and he will tell you my name."
That's what it was.
Okay?
Yeah.
And shortly thereafter, a missionary came into the, walked into the village, a white man carrying a black book. And the man who had had the vision ran to him, screaming, "Tell me his name. Tell me his name." Mm-hmm. And then he had opportunity to tell the missionary that he had seen Jesus in a vision. And Jesus had said, "You will come and tell me your name."
Hallelujah. So, great. Yeah, thank you, Pat.
Incredible story.
Yeah. So you see, God does take care of those situations and those things, all right? We don't need to worry about it. God will take care of it. God is more interested in the salvation of souls than you are. Did you hear that? God is more interested than you are. And for some of us, he's a lot more interested than you are. But he chooses to use men to bring the news. But Noah found grace because God wanted to find someone, and Noah's heart was in the right place. Now, those who search for God will find him. They will. There will be no one who will ever stand before God and say, "Well, I looked for you and I couldn't find you." It'll never happen. Those who seek will find. Noah's world was turned upside down, but he found rest in God. In fact, Noah's name means rest. He found rest in God. He found righteousness. God declared him righteous for his heart being aimed towards God. Noah never went to church. Noah never went to the temple. All Noah did was had a heart that was looking for God. Noah was declared blameless. His sins were taken care of at Calvary's tree. Noah walked faithfully with God. You know what it doesn't say that he did? It didn't say that he walked perfectly with God. He walked faithfully with God. There's a vast difference. You know, sometimes we think that we have to be perfect. If you could be perfect, we didn't need Calvary. If you could do it. But we're unable to do that. God didn't come to save perfect people. God came to save willing people. People who were willing to turn their life over to God. And those of you who have been saved for a while know this to be true. There's a process that takes place. You come to God, and then he starts working on you and helping you overcome some things that you need to get rid of. All of us have been through the process or are still going through the process. You will never reach perfection in the flesh here on this earth. You only reach the righteousness of God that is bestowed upon you in Christ Jesus. He makes you righteous. When you are a believer, you are as righteous as God himself is. You know, sometimes we read that and we think, well, we're going to be righteous. You know, we'll have righteousness. If that was true, it wouldn't be enough. We have the righteousness of God. Just as he is righteous, you are righteous. God sees you, he sees his own righteousness reflected in you. That's what God has done for us. And this was what the work that was being done in Noah that was fulfilled at Calvary's tree. Now, Noah wasn't accepted in the eyes of men, was he? If those of you who read the story know the story, he was scoffed for what he was doing, ridiculed. I can hear this story. I've got these good illustrations. My friends from Pennsylvania. Y'all going where? Y'all going to New Orleans? Y'all going down there to party, huh? I heard that's a party city. They call it the Big Easy. You're going down there. Well, we're going down to tell people about Christ. You can do what? Nobody can listen. You're going to get hurt down there. They got big, mean people down there that will hurt you. You don't want to go down there. This place is dangerous. That's the murder capital of the world. Well, almost. I think Chicago has got us beat. You don't want to go down there. Are you crazy? No, well, what are you doing? I'm building a boat. What for? Because it's going to rain for 40 days. No, it's never rained. What is rain? A little girl in a rock named Rainer, but that's closest we know of rain. That's their granddaughter's name, Rainer. It's foolishness. It's foolishness to speak of Christ. It's foolishness to go to church. It's foolishness to give your money to them preachers. All they want is your money anyhow. You've heard that. Probably might have said that yourself along the way. It's foolishness. That's what Noah went through. That's what believers go through. If you get on fire for Jesus, I promise you, somebody's going to think you're crazy. They will. They may tell you to your face, about your face, they'll say upon your back. You know, there's something wrong with you. Of course, we're such a modern church. They used to say, you go to church twice on Sunday, once in the middle of the week. We're a very cardinal church. We only go once on Sunday. you get criticized for whatever you do. You do it right or do it wrong, you get criticized. Noah was mocked. That's what he went through. But Noah remained faithful. I could see him getting up in the morning, going out with his hammer and nails. If he had nails, I'm not sure. Whatever he had, he put that thing together. When it started raining, there wasn't not too many people laughing. Maybe the first day, maybe the second day, maybe the third day, Day 39, and nobody's laughing. And I'm going to say something, and I don't mean it to be harsh, but it's a reality we need to know about. There will come a day when the revelers, the ones involved in unbelief and living a life of unbelief, they won't be laughing anymore. They won't be saying, throw me something again. I'm afloat. They won't be looking for another bottle of whiskey to drink, another woman or a man to run off with, another homosexual relationship. They won't be looking for any of that. They'll be crying. The only thing they'll be crying out for is for mercy, and there will be no mercy. And you see a picture of that in Noah's day. All of them die. Save Noah and his family. There is a day coming when that will happen. We're not there today, so far as I know. Might happen before the day's over. But right now, there seems to be time. There's enough time for you to get your children in the kingdom, to get your mom and dad in the kingdom, your brothers and sisters in the kingdom, your neighbors in the kingdom, strangers in the kingdom. There's still time to tell them about the story of Jesus Christ. Noah was looking for God and he found him. What about you? Have you been looking for God? Or are you doing like that old song, looking for love in all the wrong places? Looking for God in all the wrong places. Won't find him hardly. It's going to be hard to find him at the Mardi Gras. You're going to have to look. There's only eight of you. There's others, but there's the eight that I know. There'll be others out there. It's going to be hard. God gives a covenant blessing. God gives a covenant blessing. Anybody got a cough drop? I'm still having a hangover from last week. You got one? Oh, once again, my wife saved me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to take away this tickling in my throat that I can preach this message. Father, I know we're kind of laughing, but it's serious. That it's stopping me from saying what I believe you want me to say. So right now, I declare that my throat is clear. And my voice is strong. And that your message is powerful. Thank you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, the wild animals, and all those that came out of the ark with you. Every living creature on the earth, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the water of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Wow. What a statement. What a statement. God established a covenant, and it's a forerunner of things to come. It's a forerunner of the new covenant that we spoke about this morning when we received the Lord's Supper. Noah was saved for judgment. Just as in Christ, we have no fear of judgment. Beloved, you do not have to worry about being judged. Though the whole world be judged, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are judged already by your faith in the judgment that came upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he became sin for you, when you believed in him, you experienced a new birth. You will not be judged. People sometimes tell me, well, what about the great white throne judgment? If you read it carefully, it says that the dead were judged. The unbelievers were judged. Those whose name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life were already been judged. And we don't have to worry about that. That's the graciousness of God. Just as God passed over in Egypt, and the only ones who were saved were those who were under the blood. In the same way, with you, you're under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one of the interesting things about this story, and this is great encouragement for some of you mothers and dads and grandparents, Noah took his family with him. You know, it doesn't say that they were righteous. It doesn't say that they found favor in God's eyes. It didn't say that they were doing anything right. It said God allowed them to go with them. Does that mean that your family gets a pass? No, I don't believe that. But I do believe that God will honor your prayers for your kids and your grandkids. and your family. I believe you can pray your family in. I believe that God will continue to work. And for some of you say, Pastor, that ain't going to happen. You don't know my kids. You don't know my grandkids. You don't know my brother, my sister. You don't know what they're like. I don't have to know what they're like. I only have to know what God's like. I only have to know God's word. I don't have to know your word. I only have to know what He said. It's not relevant what you say. It's only relevant what He says. I tell you all the time when I tell you things that are my opinion doesn't matter. The only opinion that matters is God's opinion. And there are too many places in the Scriptures in the Old and New Testament where I see this. Remember the Philippian jailer? He and his household got saved. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be saved and your family. I believe God works in family. God's a family man. So don't give up. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Now, if I turn out to be wrong on that, I apologize. But I don't believe I am. Some of you had kids and you brought them up in church and they departed from it and they're out living like hell today. And you think, there's no way that they're going to turn around. Don't you be trampling under feet the blood of Jesus, because you never know what Jesus can do. They might have forgotten about the profession of faith when it was 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. Don't you think God's forgotten? Don't you think God's given up? How long did God work with the people of that day, but they wouldn't come? But Noah did. What made Noah so different? Something was special about Noah's heart that you and I won't know until we get to see the whole picture unfolded. But God is at work. Don't give up on those of your family who you're praying for. And keep telling them about the Lord. Well, they don't want to hear it anymore because I've told them everything you know. How many times did you tell them to keep your hands off the stove? How many times did you tell them to put the knife down? How many times did you tell them don't cross the street? You kept telling them until they finally heard you. And you never know. Well, they're going to get mad at me. So what? Does it matter? You speak the truth in love. You don't say it in condemning them. What's wrong? Must be this cough drop. Get scared. I got my tang all tangled up in there. There is power in the words of God spoken in the love of God. A turn to burn mentality won't get you anything. But the truth of God spoken in love will change the course of a person. And in this case, we're all descendants of Noah. We talk about being descendants of Adam, which we are, but we're also descendants of Noah because of that one guy. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't quit praying. Don't throw in the towel, because God is still at work. Amen? All right. Now, Noah had everything he needed. God provided for him. God, as you know the story, they walked in. God closed the door. It says God closed the door. Set them off on the Sea of Judgment. And they just floated around. The whole world was dying and they were okay. I want to encourage you with these words. You may see, if we're in the last days, and there are many who believe that we are, I am not a prophet in that respect, so I don't know. I think we are. It looks like it. In fact, Jesus said the end time will be like it was in the days of Noah. We're getting pretty close to that. Well, we're not there already. As a believer, I know some of you are waiting for the rapture to get you out of here. We'll get raptured out of here and we'll be fine. That's true. But you also believe that you won't go through any hard times. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure that You won't be around when a lot of bad stuff happens. Well, I don't want to be here. Well, Noah didn't want to be in a boat either. He'd never been in a boat before, probably. But God will provide for you like he provided for Noah. Whatever you need, God will provide. People worry about the economy crashing. Well, the economy is going to crash, and all my money is going to be gone. They're going to take my house. They're going to take my car. They're going to take my bank account. They're going to take everything. I got to tell Pat all the time, they can't eat you. They can't eat you. So if you end up broke, hey, maybe you're already broke. Makes it easy. You don't have to worry about losing anything. You know, there are some advantages. God will take care of you and provide for you. And you may see the waves and you may hear the wind howl. And you may see things that will vex your soul. It will make you feel just like God. I wish God would have never created this place. I wish God would just get me out of here. But as long as you're alive, you got a work to do. Paul said it this way. He said, man, to die is gain. Oh, no more stoning, no more shipwrecks, you know, no more all the things I'm going through. He said, but to live is Christ. And that's our job, to live and to do what God's called us to do, to bring the good news wherever we can, to those we love, to those we know, and to the strangers we meet along the way. You never know who's waiting to hear the truth. I'm going to tell you a story. I've told a story before, but it's one of the landmark stories in my life. I was up in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, right close to where you guys are, way up there, little southern boy all the way up there. And I was working at a hotel. I was working in the back room where a lot of work goes on behind the front desk where, you know, it's all nice and pretty. And this beautiful little girl, about 21, 22 years old, came from the front desk into the back bullpen where I was working. And she used the foulest language I'd ever heard a girl say. And she said some bad things about one of the guests out there. You know, the worst words you ever heard, she used those words. It stunned me. I was shocked when I heard it. There was about maybe 20 people in that room. And louder than I intended to say it, and faster than I intended to say it, I said, what in the world is a beautiful girl like you using that kind of filthy language? And everybody stopped breathing. Everybody went, all the calculators went quiet. No computers. It was silence. So I had an audience. So I just said, you know, God didn't create you to speak that way. He's got a better plan for your life. Everybody, the shock was over, and they all put their heads down and went back to work, afraid I'd say something to them. She spun around and went back out to the front desk. And she just did a pirouette and was out. You'd think that'd be the end of the story. About 20 minutes later, I was sitting there working, and there's a tap on my shoulder, and it's that little gal. She says, can I talk to you for a minute? I thought, sure. So there was a little vacant office right down. So I went down where the vacant office was, walked in there. She started crying, just crying, just uncontrollably crying. And I said, what's the matter? She said, my life is a wreck. She said, they took my baby away from me because I'm an unfit mother. She said, and I don't know what to do. She said, and my mother's praying for me. She said, help me. I said, well, let me tell you what I know. When I told her the old story of Jesus, right there in that building, those people were still, wasn't 20 feet away from where the conversation first took place. And that little girl received Christ into her life right there in that place. I didn't know her. I didn't know what was going to happen. But God knew. See, that mother was praying for that girl. That mother cared about her. She didn't know I was going to be up there from New Orleans, could be up there working and would say something I wouldn't normally say. I'm not, you know, that gregarious a personality that I would interrupt someone. But it just shocked me. That's the only reason I did it. I was up there about another week working. Every time I saw that gal, she had a glowing countenance, just glow. And she'd say, thank you. I'm doing better. I'm doing better. See, God's interested in those single, solitary souls. and he'll use you to do it. You don't have to be a great theologian. All you have to do is just have a spirit. It'll get vexed about something and say, what are you doing that? And God will use you. That's what God wants to do. That's what it's all about. So how do you find grace in a sinful world? Just open your eyes and look around. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. God's grace is everywhere. You know, it says God put a rainbow in the sky to remind everybody that he wouldn't flood the earth again. A couple of years ago, we wondered about that down here when Katrina came through. But what you need to do is to look around and see the grace of God. You can see it in a rainbow, it'll remind you. But if you just look around, God's grace is everywhere. Scripture said this, and I want to close with this thought. It said where where sin is, where sin exists, grace much more abounds. Much more. Much greater than. Every time sin and evil takes one step, God takes two steps, three steps, four steps. We don't know how many steps. He took enough steps to find you. He'll take enough steps to find those who need him most and will respond to the message of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Next week, God willing, we'll be talking about the birth of a nation. In case you don't know, that's Abraham. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your marvelous, marvelous grace poured out without measure upon us. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for the grace that reached down, as that old song says, and saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I was once dead, but now I live. Thank you, Father. That song is echoed in each of our hearts in this building, and those over the internet who are watching, who know Jesus Christ. And for those who don't, Jesus, is it the next heartbeat? You just cry out to him and say, Lord, remember me. Remember me. Remember me. And he will. And he does. And he has. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Before we close, I want to take just a moment and pray for these folks from Pennsylvania. Come down here. And I've had the privilege of praying for them a couple of times. Why don't you guys come on down? We're going to surround you, make you feel like you're at a Mardi Gras parade, but the Holy Ghost will be here. Anyway, come on over here so I can get to you. I want to thank you for coming on behalf of the name of Jesus, that you guys will come down here and spend your money and your time. And you have to, come on around. No, we're good. We know Paul. Like, why don't you, some of you guys come around, get behind them and lay hands on them and, you know, pray for them. Hallelujah. Come on, don't you be afraid. They won't hurt you, the Yankees, but they love you. Yeah, come on over here. Put your hands up here. Amen. Get up here. See? Come on. There we go. Everybody got somebody behind him? All right, good. Father, I thank you. Thank you for Paul, Lord, the leader of the bunch here, Lord. Thank you that his heart's been tender towards you like Noah of old, Lord. Looking all around and sees hope, not hopelessness, but hope. Thank you for him, Father. Thank you for his faithfulness. Like Noah of old, he's been faithful. We trust you, Lord, and I thank you for him. Father, I thank you for this band of warriors that he brought with him each year as they come down. Lord, I ask you to protect each one of them. to bless them, Father. Father, give them favor that wherever they go the next couple of days when they're down here, that they'll be under your divine protection. Nothing will harm them. No arrows, fiery darts of the enemy can pierce the shield of faith that we lift up for them today. That there'll be no work of the enemy that can say a word, a curse word, or anything detrimental to them or to their family or to their lives. Those things will have no power. The only thing they'll have power is the word of God, which is being spoken over them right now. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, I believe you for that. Father, and I believe that they will have fruit for their labors. Father, that they'll find some, like that little gal I found, they'll find many who will respond to the message of Christ that they will bring. And that a precious soul will be born into the kingdom, one after another, just like that. Your grace just poured out on souls, and they will respond, and they'll see the evil around them and reach out for the glory and the purity and the holiness that comes from you. And that they will not be eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil any longer, but they will partake of the fruit that these folks will be offering, the fruit of the tree of life. And they will receive Christ into their life. Father, I declare these things, that this will be their testimony when they're driving back to Pennsylvania and they'll have a safe trip back, that they'll be rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them, bringing their fruit with them. Father, bless them. Bless our city for bringing these folks down here. Father, we declare this over them. New Beginnings Church, blessing New Beginnings Church today. In the name of Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Wait. Let me just speak a scripture for you, if wait. You don't mind.
Wait. Yeah. Just a second.
I'd like to... I just like to speak this two scriptures for you today. And one is that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. In every tongue that's raised against you in judgment, you shall condemn, for this is your inheritance. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. And also, and I think it's in Luke where it says, the Lord says, I will give you wisdom and a tongue that even your adversaries cannot contradict, that the Lord will cause you to have his word in your mouth, and that it will go forth as the living word, sharper than a two-edged sword, mm-hmm. bringing forth life everlasting into those that go. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for coming to our homeland.
I would just like to say, too, to these folks, that as we were praying for them, the scripture the Lord gave me was, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.